All right, we're beginning here on the top of Pei Vav and Aleph by the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we already quoted early on in the Masechta, Daf Gimel. Shlosha Gitin Psulim. There are three Gitin which are problematic. Bim Niseit Avlav Kasher. Nevertheless, if she marries with such a get, the Vlad is Kasher. Or in other words, we're dealing with a Psul de Rabbanan. And Lechatchila, we don't want you to use such a get. We don't want you getting married with such a get. But b'diavad, if you got married with such a get, the children born of the second marriage are not mamzerim. Katav b'ktav yado, if the get is written in the handwriting of the ba'al, vein alav edim, and there are no witnesses to the get. Yesh alav edim, there are witnesses on the get, vein bozman, and there's no dating of the get. Yesh bozman, there is a date, vein bo ela ed echad, and there's only one signatory to the get. Harelu shlosha gitin psulim. These three gitin are problematic. Pasul midrabanan. But if she utilizes such a get and gets married, avlad kasher, the children born are kasherim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the more likely girsa is Rabbi Elazar Omer. Afa pishen ala beidim. Even if there are no signatories to the get, ela shenatano la bifnei edim, but he handed it to her before edim, kasher, then it is a fine get. This is what we saw earlier in the Masechta, we've discussed that many times, that Rabbi Elazar believes, edei mesira karte, therefore he doesn't need signatories to the actual get, he needs witnesses to the conveyance of the get from the husband to the wife. V'gova minichasim mishubadim, and based on that get, she can collect from encumbered property. The only reason that the Edim actually signed the get is not because that validates the get, not because that makes it into a get, but simply Mipnei Tikkun Olam, which we've seen again before in the Masechta, so that we have a way to validate and verify the get without actually having to bring the Edim in front of us. Because Edim pass away, Edim travel overseas, Edim aren't always available to testify. Therefore, if you have signatures on the get, you can validate the get through verifying those signatures, and then you'll have a valid get. All right. Now, Rashi makes a comment here, which is a very difficult comment. Tosafot disagrees with it, and seemingly Rashi himself reverses his opinion later on in the sugyo, which is, Haitana, lavki Rabbi Meir svirle. The author of this Mishnah does not hold like Rabbi Meir. And then Rashi goes on to say, velavki Rabbi Elazar svirle. And he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar either. Now, the fact that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar is easier to understand because the Mishnah, if you have the Girsa that concludes Rabbi Elazar Omer, then clearly the Tanakhama is not Rabbi Elazar because Rabbi Elazar has a dissenting opinion here in the Mishnah. On the other hand, the fact that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir says, Edei Chatima Karte. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, the Vlad would be a Mamzer. For a number of reasons. First of all, he requires two edim in order to validate the get, and that's missing in at least two out of the three cases here. That's number one. Number two is, Rabbi Meir believes, kol ha-mishaneh mimatbeya shetavu chachamim. Anybody who changes the protocols set up by the chachamim, then the get is no good. Vavlad mamzer. So based on that, Rashi suggests that the author or the Tanakhama of this Mishnah is neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Elazar. Someone who we haven't met yet, some Tana, that allows this to happen, where obviously he doesn't think it's Edei Mesira, but also doesn't require a full Edei Chatima. That's what Rashi says over here. Tosafot right away says, Ein Nira. Says that what Rashi's saying does not make sense. The Ika B'Gemara, the Mukilak Rabbi Meir. We have in the Gemara someone who sets up the Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir. So obviously somebody believes that Rabbi Meir could be the author of a Mishnah. In the Rashi, there's a line who says, Ulaman demukila bigmara ki Rabbi Meir. According to the one who sets it up in the Mishnah, like Rabbi Meir, Ikala Meimar, tav yado kamei dimdomi. What you have to say is that the Baal's handwriting is equivalent of 100 edim. In other words, you do have edei chatima here. It's not your classic edei chatima, which is that there are edim signed on the get, but rather edei chatima that derived from the fact that the Baal himself wrote again, and it's in his handwriting. You can't have better edim than that, than the fact that the Baal himself wrote it. That's what Rashi has in there. If you look, there's an Aleph in the Bach, who says that this was a later addition to Rashi. in order to address the issue of Tosafot. Tosafot raised the issue. Somebody sets it up like a mayor in the Gemara. So obviously Rashi's wrong. This, he says, is an insertion by someone to explain Rashi's opinion and explain that position of Rabbi Meir. But that's not necessarily what was in the Rashi itself or the original Rashi. On the other hand, later on in the Gemara, third to last line of Rashi, says, Vashminan dematnitan Rabbi Meir. So it's coming to teach us that our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Damar Hatam of Vlad Mamzer, who says in the other location that the Vlad is Mamzer. Over here he does not say it's a Mamzer, and the Vlad is Kasher, meaning that Rashi thinks in that part of the Gemara that Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah. So either Rashi is saying that in the Mishnah, sometimes Rashi does that, he gives us what would be the Havamina, that this is authored by no one, but the Gemara's conclusion is otherwise. But he's explained the Mishnah according to the Havamina, so you understand what the Gemara is grappling with. Or you have to suggest that Rashi actually changed his position or believes later on in a later edition or redaction of his Perush that it was like Rabbi Meir. And then maybe what the Bach says was in a later edition may not be a later edition by someone else, but it actually might be Rashi's notation to say that in order to fit the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, this is the way you would say it. And it's not necessarily true that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. Right now, the Gemara says, Vituleka. Are there no other cases? The Mishnah says, Shlosha Gitim. There are three Gitim that are Psulim. We've had innumerable Gitim that are Psulim, and only Psulim mi the Rabbanan. Vaika. What about the case of Get Yasham? Case of Get Yashan, one may not marry with a Get Yashan. Bidlachatchila. But Bidiavad, if you get married, we don't force them to divorce, and the Get stands. So there again, you have a get that is pasul milchatkila, but kasher bidiavad. It says, hatam lo teitze. Over there, if they marry based on that get, we do not force them to dissolve the marriage. Hacha teitze. Over here, we force them to dissolve the marriage. It says, anicha lamanda amar hacha. That works well according to one over here, explains our Mishnah teitze. That we do compel them to dissolve the marriage in this instance. Lamanda amar hacha lo teitze. According to one who says over here, that we do not force them to dissolve the marriage, ma'ika le'meimar. Then what is the distinction between the three cases here and the case of Get Yashan? It says, hotam tinase lechatchila. Over there, by Get Yashan, she can get married lechatchila. Hacha diavad. Over here, she can only get married bidiavad, meaning that if she is married, we will not force a divorce. But over there, by the Get Yashan, we would suggest or we would allow you to get married even lechatchila. And that is, if she gets divorced, if you remember there, the Gemara, we just did this back in Ayin Tet, that the Gemara there brings a Lashon, Im Nitkasha. If she gets divorced with such a get, Tina Selechatchila, she's allowed to get married. We prefer you don't use such a get, and before that, that's not the get. But once she has that get, we allow her to get married, Lechatchila. So that'll be a distinction of why it's not placed in our Mishnah, either because we don't force a dissolution of the marriage in the case of Get Yashan, or because in a Get Yashan, she can get married lechatchila. Vayika Get Kereach. Again, just had this recently. The Get Kereach is a Get Mikushar that is missing a signature on one of the folds, one of the tyings. Hatam Havlad Manzer. Over there, the Mishnah says, by a Get Kereach, if she gets married based on that Get, the offspring are considered to be Mamzerim. Hacha Havlad Kasher. Over here, we say that, as the Mishnah noted, that if she gets married based on this get, that the vlad, the children, the offspring are ksherim. Anicha, the Rabbi Meir, that works well according to Rabbi Meir. Now here, in parentheses, it tells you why it works well for Rabbi Meir, because over there, Rabbi Meir says, kol mishanemi matbeah shetavu chachamim, begitin avlad mamzer. So therefore, since you violated the protocol that the chachamim laid out for get mikushar, and it's a get kereach, that is a failure in the get, and according to Rabbi Meir, that's sufficient grounds to make the children born using or utilizing such a get to get married with are considered to be mamzerim. Aval l'rabbanan or ela l'rabbanan, according to the chachamim over there who say that, all right, it's a get pasul l'chatchila, but b'di'avad, it's a good get, and the vlad is kasher. Ma'ik l'meimar, how do you distinguish between that case of get kereach and our case over here? Hotam teitzei. Over there, we force the dissolution of the marriage. Hacha lo teitze. In our case over here, we do not force the dissolution of the marriage. Again, the Gemara says, anicha l'manda mar hacha lo teitze. That works well according to the one who says that over here, we do not dissolve the marriage. According to the one over here who says that over here we do force a dissolution of the marriage, Michael the Maymar, what's the difference between the Mishnah of Gid Kereach and the Mishnah over here? Why is it not included in this list of three? It says, B'mikushar lo kamayri. Our Gemara, or this Mishnah, is not dealing with that type of get. Meaning that in a normal get, there are shlosha gitin that are psulim. There might be with a get mikushar, which is this fancy get that the Chachamim instituted in order to slow down the divorce process, that our Mishnah is not dealing with. That's a different issue. That's a different animal, get mikushar, and we're not going to overlap it with what our Mishnah is speaking about, which is a get pashut, a simple get. Va'ika shalom malchut. What about the fact of dating? We saw before that if you put in the date according to the emperor of the time, that's fine. But if you use a different empire, use a different king, that makes the get into a get pasul. It says, Hotam Teitzei. By that case, where you use the wrong dating system, we force the dissolution of the marriage. Hacha lo Teitzei. Over here, we do not force the dissolution of the marriage. Again, Anichalam Andamar Hacha lo Teitzei. Over here, that works well according to the one who says here that we do not dissolve the marriage in our Mishnah. Elam Andamar Teitzei, and the one who says that in our Mishnah we do dissolve the marriage. Micah the Meimar. Then how do you answer this problem? The answer is Mukila ki Rabbi Meir. We'll set it up like Rabbi Meir, or we did set it up like Rabbi Meir. Hotam Vlad Mamzer. And over there, the Vlad was a Mamzer. Hacha Vlad Kasher. And over here, the Vlad is Kasher. Again, Rabbi Meir says that if you're Mishanem, Mimatbeyesh Tavu Chachamim, that lands you in a case where there's no get. If there's no get, then the children born of the next marriage are Mamzerim. And therefore, that case, by the lack of dating, according to the current emperor, led you to a dating system that is not acceptable to the Chachamim. And even though it was only Mishum Shalom Malchut, because you deviated from what the Chachamim laid out, then the Vlad is a Mamzer, and that'll be the distinction between this Mishnah, where the Vlad is Kasher, versus that Mishnah by Shalom Malchut, where the Vlad is a Mamzer. So now, David, your question. Minyona Dereisha, the Mute Mai. Minyona Deseifa, the Mute Mai. The Mishnah twice says that there are three Gitin that are Psulim. Why does it enumerate twice that principle? These are three gitin, these are three gitin. The Bavli always reads such language, or language of a klal, to say that there must be something in addition to what's written in the Mishnah that the Mishnah is trying to convey. And therefore we're going to try to be midayek. If there's three in the beginning, that means three and not something else. And three in the end also means three and not something else. The question is, what is that not something else? Minyana dereisha, demuteyani damran. The Shoshav, the Reisha, comes to exclude all these Mishnayot that we just brought and we question as to why they're not included in the list. So the Shoshav, the Reisha, comes to say, these three, and not all those other Mishnayot that came before us in the Masechta, because they're different than the three that are found in the Mishnah. Minyana de Seifa de Mutei. Enumeration in the Seifa comes to exclude Hadetanyo, this Breita, Hemevi Get Mimdinat Yam, someone who transports a get from overseas, he hands the get to the woman without saying the prescribed bifanai nichtav u bifanai nechtam, which he needs to do in order to make it into a kosher get. Yotzi vavlad mamzer, divi Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, then you divorce, and the vlad is a mamzer from the second husband because this is not a kosher get. Chumimim ain't a vlad mamzer. Chumim say that the vlad is not a mamzer. So how do you rectify the problem here? How do you deal with such a get? You take it back from the woman. And then he will re-give it to her in front of two edim. And at that point he'll say, and that'll rectify the deficit here, which is the lack of. Now he's also granting the get back to the woman with the prescribed language that he was supposed to say. So then, what we're saying here is that the Minyana de Seifa comes to exclude that case, and as Rashi noted before, the Mute Adetanya, as we said, the Hacha Vlad Mamzer Ki Rabbi Meir. Over there, by the case where he left out Bifanai Nechtam, the Vlad is a Mamzer because that's Shitat Rabbi Meir. And Shitat Rabbi Meir is, Kol Mishaneh Mibat Beya She Tavu Chachamim, That is a Vlad Mamzer. And the Ashma Inan. Rashi says, what is it coming to teach us? The Matznitan, the Breita Mitaretztehi. That this Breita that we're bringing over here is a valid Breita. The Filuki Hai Gavna, Meshavale Rabbi Meir Mamzer. Because over there, Rabbi Meir calls it a Mamzer. In contrast to our Mishnah, where even Rabbi Meir agrees that the get is pasul, but the Vlad is kasher. And that's what we noted before. The Rashi before says that this is according to Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir, which seems to be soter what Rashi said in the Mishnah. But here the Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And in following the Shita of Rabbi Meir, all the other cases where you were Mishanemi, but Be'er Shetavu Chachamim, that was a get pasul. And the Vlad is Mamzer. Over here, the Vlad is Kasher. Over there in the Breita, the soul is not integral to the get. It is something that makes the get or validates the get to the point where it's Kasher. But Rabbi Meir still says that if you don't follow the prescription of the Chachamim, not only in the integral aspects of the get, but in the processing or the mechanism of giving the get, that also is posel the get. And here, if you're missing the B'fanai Nechtam, B'fanai Echtam, you didn't follow the process the Chachamim laid out. And therefore the get is pasul, and the Vlad is a Mamzer. But what you see here is that we're setting up the Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. So number one is we do have an author for this Mishnah. The other thing we need to figure out is, well, if it is Rabbi Meir, why when the get is pasul is the Vlad not a Mamzer? Why over here is the Vlad kasher? That's what Rashi tried to address in the Mishnah, which is that the Tav Yado Shel Abal, that the handwriting of the Baal is the equivalent of Me'edim. And therefore, the psul is only a derabanan, which is saying the chatchila, we prefer you don't do this, because we'd rather have regular edim on this, we'd rather have two edim signed on it, we'd rather have all the normal protocols that are required. Nevertheless, Rabbi Meir acknowledges over here that you can circumvent that by just using the ktav yado of the bow, because that gets me what I want, which is, quote unquote, a chatima to the get, because the writing of the Baal is equivalent to the Chatimat Me'edim. And that's what you're going to have to suggest as to how to deal with this issue in the Mishnah, as to why or how Rabbi Meir is possibly the author of the Mishnah. So that's how Rashi reads the Gemara over here, that the reason that we have the Breita contrasted with the Mishnah is to show you that the Breita is a valid Breita. And that's why you have a difference between the Breita and our Mishnah, or why the Breita is not included in our Mishnah, is because of that difference. And that shows you that the Breita is giving you the right halacha, and that Rabbi Meir in that case, or even in that case, Rabbi Meir says, Avlad Mamzer b'fanai nechtam b'fanai echtam, like you suggested, Fred, that the possibility that it shouldn't be that way because it's not integral to the get. Along comes our Mishnah to tell you that is the case because it's not included in the list of our Mishnah. Tosafot over here says, Rabbeinu Yitzhak Amar, Dach Breita Itzricha Miuto Lechud, the way that Tosfot explains it is that the Breita we needed, because the Breita teaches us that even according to Rabbi Meir, you can rectify the situation, which is that you can take the get back and then re-give the get. So even according to Rabbi Meir, if before the marriage you fix the problem, then the marriage will be a good marriage and the Vlad will not be a Mamzer. Right, so Tosfot says that the Ketzat at the end of the Breita is not just according to the Chachamim's position, but is modifying or qualifying the entire Breita, and is a solution according to Rabbi Meir as well. And that's what the Breita is teaching us. That even according to Rabbi Meir, there is a solution to this problem, as long as you catch it before the Nisuin, and then you can rectify it before the Nisuin. And that's what the necessity of the Breita is, not simply what Rashi is suggesting over here, which is to tell us that it's a valid Breita because of the contrast with the Mishnah, but rather it's to tell us that there's a way to rectify it according to Rabbi Meir, which Rabbi Meir doesn't have in the other places or the other cases. Rabbi Meir does not have a way to deal with that. And the lack of Zman over here, you'll have to explain vis-a-vis the Mishnah we saw before where the lack of Zman is problematic according to Rabbi Meir. That's when you wrote the wrong Zman. You wrote the wrong Zman, that is, first of all, Shonem Mimad Be'esh Tavu Chachamim. And number two is a problem of Shalom Malchut. But if you leave out the date entirely, then that isn't problematic because then you're not pogeya with the current rulers and it's not subject to the Shalom Malchut. So if you don't write the date, it's better than when you write the wrong type of dating system in the get. And you'll have to say that these are not violations of Either because of what we said, that the Baal is Kamei Edim, and that the dating is only problematic when it's the wrong date, or the Ramban suggests over here that that's only a problem when you're dealing with fundamental parts of the get, that if we allow it to go through, it will cause problems in other shtarot. But things that are miyuchad to the get and are not fundamental issues of the get, there Rabbi Meir will agree that that's not called a shonemi matbeya shetavu chachamim. Right now, we have a statement. Amar Rav, Davya Dosha Ninu. Our mission is a case where we're speaking about the handwriting of the Baal. Ahai. Our mission has three cases. On which of those three cases, or maybe on all of those cases, is Rav speaking? Ilema Resha. If you think it's on the first case in the Mishnah, Pshita, Ktav Yado, Ktani. I don't need Rav to tell me that. That's explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, that Ktav B'Ktav Yado, he wrote it in his handwriting, Vein Alav Edim. That's the first case. So I don't need Rav to tell me that it's his handwriting, when the Mishnah explicitly states that the first case is his handwriting. Vela Mitziota must be the middle case in the Mishnah. The middle case in the Mishnah is the case where he says, Yesh Alav Edim, Vein Bozman. It has proper Edim, it just doesn't have a date on it. Hare, Yesh Alav Edim. Why do I care who wrote the get in that case? Because there are Edim. Once you have Edim on it, it doesn't matter who wrote the get, because we have Edim that signed the get. So the necessity for it to be Ktav Yado seems meaningless in the Mitziyata, in the middle case. Ela Aseifa. He must be making a statement on the last case in the Mishnah, which is the case which is, there is no Yesh Bozman, it is dated, Beinobo Ela Yed Echad, but there's only one aid that is signed on such a get. Rav comes along and teaches us that it's one aid plus Ktav Yado of the Baal. That is, the handwriting of the Baal. Yesh Bozman, Vein Bo Elei Echad. That if it has a date on it, and there's only one aid on it, Dafka Ktav Yado, the aid. It only works when it's his handwriting and one aid. Aval Ktav Sofer, the aid, lo. But if it's the handwriting of the Sofer and one aid, it doesn't work. Now, the difficulty with that is that the first case in the Mishnah is Ktav Yado, period. The third case in the Mishnah is Ktav Yado Ve'ed Echad. If you already told me that by the case of Ktav Yado Ve'ed Echad, which is the last case in the Mishnah, that it's Pasul, do you really need to tell me the first case in the Mishnah when it's only Ktav Yado that it is Pasul? So then why bother to bring that case down? It seems completely unnecessary. So Rashi addresses that and says, Ilav Seifa Havamina Hechadika Ed Echad Im Ktav Yado Tinaseh Dechadchila. Says, had that third case had not been brought in the Mishnah, I would have concluded that only in a case where it's only his handwriting is the get pasul lechatchila. But if you have an eid echad and his handwriting, it would be kasher lechatchila. So that third case in the Mishnah comes to teach us that even in that case, it's pasul lechatchila. So basically what it's coming to teach you is that the first case in the Mishnah is only pasul lechatchila and not pasul b'diavad in the case where it's only his handwriting. The third case where it's his handwriting in the eid echad, of course, it's not pasul b'diavad, because we already have a case where we know that even without an eid echad, it's not pasul b'diavad. So what is that coming to teach you? That even in that case, it's still pasul lechatchila. So therefore, the first case in the Mishnah will be a chiddush that it's not pasul b'diavad. The third case in the Mishnah will be a chiddush that it is pasul lechatchila. And that's why we have both cases, even though you could have derived one from the other. Ushmul Amar. Shmuel says, Afilu Ktav Sofer Ve'eid. Shmuel disagrees with Rav and says that the case is a case even when it's the handwriting of the Sofer and one eid. Sherei Shaninu, because we already learned Ktav Sofer Ve'eid Kasher. That when you have the Ktav Sofer and an eid Kasher, that's a Mishnah that's coming up. And so therefore this would be a corroboration of that stance, which is that when you have the handwriting of the Sofer and you have an eid, the get is kasher. V'Rav, what's Rav going to say about that? Midomi. How can you compare the cases? Hotam tinaseh lechatchila. Over there, when it's Ktav Sofer Ve'eid, when the Mishnah says kasher, Rav says that means kasher lechatchila. You can use that get, no problem. Hocha di'avad. Over here, when we say whatever is done in this Mishnah plus the Eid Echad is only kasher b'di'avad. So Rav says, how do you distinguish between the cases? Our case in the Mishnah is a case of Ktav Baal and Eid Echad. And the Mishnah over there is a case of Ktav Sofer, Ve'ed Echad. which in essence means that we're viewing the Ktav Sofer as filling in as the second eighth. So there you have two kasher edim, because you have the Ktav Sofer, which is the equivalent of an eid echad, plus an eid echad. So you have two edim on the get. Whereas over here, you have the Ktav of the Baal and an eid echad. So the truth is that you also have two edim over here. You have the Baal and the eid echad, or in essence, you don't even need the eid echad. You have the Ktav of Baal, which there, we said before, means the kamei edim. It's as good as mei edim. Our problem is the optics over here. People will not think that the Ktav of the Baal is sufficient to make him into an aid or to make the get kasher. And then they will make an assumption that the reason this get is kasher is because there's an aid echad signed on it. So that's risky, because then if people conclude aid echad is kasher, they'll be makshir kitim acherim with just one aid on it. So for that reason, we say that it's not kasher lechatchila, only kasher b'diavad. In the case of Ktav Sofer b'aid echad, then you don't have the Baal. You can know that the Ktav Sofer can act as another aid. That is because he's an independent party. So you have two different people or two new people on the get. That is sufficient to be aidim, and people won't make the mistake that it's aid echad is kashir b'aidim. Shmuel, lo kasho. How does Shmuel deal with the difference between the Mishnayot, in which case it is, I mean, according to him, it's an identical case. It's Ktav Sofer b'aid. Our Mishnah says only kashir b'diavad. Mishnah further on says that it's kasher lechat chila. How do I distinguish between them? Ha, b'safra de muvhak. Ha, b'safra de lo muvhak. One's a case where it's a well-renowned expert sofer, and the other case is where it's not a well-renowned expert sofer. Rashi sees that distinction, meaning that v'hainu, tam de kasher lechat chila, b'safra de muvhak, u'baki b'torat gitin. He's an expert in gitin. And he will not write the get unless he hears and gets the instruction from the Baal. He knows Dine Gitim. He is a well-renowned expert in Gitim. And he knows that if the Baal doesn't instruct you to write the get, you don't write the get. And therefore he wrote it when he was instructed and he did it all properly. But it's so for Shaino Muvak, the guy might be preempting, writing it without the instructions of the Baal, maybe writing it based on the instructions of the woman, meaning that there might be other reasons that compel him to write the get, not because he got instructions from the Baal, and that would make the get pasul, possibly. And so that's why, in the case further on, we say that it is kasher lechatchila, because that's a sofer that is muvhak, an expert baki sofer. In our case over here, where we say it's only kasher b'diavad, is if we don't have an expert sofer. Eino chanami, that when we don't have an expert sofer, you could have an issue, but b'diavad, if you marry with such a get, we'll assume he did it right. Because rov ha-mitsuim etzel gitim are b'ki'im b'gitin. The rov of people who deal with gitim know what they're doing with gitin. And therefore, we assume they did it right. But b'chatchila, we're not going to let you get married because we don't have corroboration or evidence of the fact that it is kasher l'chatchila. So that's the way Rashi describes the difference between a sofer muvhak and a sofer sheinu muvhak. The Tosafot, the reader over here, says, he's an expert sofer, but sofer the chol ha'ir, and he's a sofer to the whole city. His handwriting is the equivalent of a signature. Since he is so well known, therefore he acts like an aide when he writes the get. And therefore it's kasher lechatchila. Damrinan, v'vadai al sofer shekatav haget, Hu haya aid sheni. He was definitely the second aid. Aval ima sofer enu mupak. If it's not an expert sofer or a well-renowned sofer, savru olam kevin sheinu chatum lo haya kasher leidut. The fact that he's not signed on the get is because they didn't want him to sign on the get because he wasn't kasher leidut. Shema eved o isha. Maybe he is a slave or a woman. Or echad mikrovei aisha. Or he's a relative of the woman. Shenu shakatavo, shenu kasher, and they're not kasher the edut, shenu kasher the edut, who are not appropriate for edut. And then people will validate this get with one eid. And then they'll come to the conclusion that eid echad is good begitin. So the Tosafot sees the issue of muvhak and enu muvhak as determining whether we're going to believe he's a good eid or not a good eid. When he's well renowned, even though he didn't sign on it, we know that he's kasher le'idut, and therefore we will assume that his writing of the get is what makes him into an eid. Then if we have no idea who the sofer is, we can't be certain that he's a kasher eid. And since we can't be certain as a kosher aid, we're not going to assume just because he wrote it, he's also a quote-unquote signatory to the get. And that means that it's only one aid on this get, and people will make the mistake of being makshir a get, the aid echad. So now, what we have here, according to this, is that you have, according to Shmuel, a distinction in the nature of the get because of the sofer, which is how trustworthy is this sofer, or how well-renowned is this sofer, depending if you're learning like Rashi or the Tosafot Arid. And that makes the difference between our Mishnah, where it's only kasher b'diavad, and the Mishnah further on, where it's kasher l'chatchila. According to Rav, the cases are not parallel. The case over here is a case of ketav yado, and the case further on is a case of ketav sofer. That's why you get a different outcome. By ketav sofer, it's kasher l'chatchila. By ketav yado, it's only kasher b'diavad, because people are less likely to assume that when it's ketav yado, that he is, quote-unquote, an aid on this get. Versus when it's ketav sofer, they will make an assumption, therefore they will assume that there is two aidim on it. Rashi also notes over here that Rav seemingly holds, like Rabbi Yirmiya later on, who explains the Mishnah, that Mishnah that we just quoted from further on, and says that chatam sofer ima'id shaninu, like Rabbi Yirmiya establishes that Mishnah further on. And then it says, Shmuel, lately to Rabbi Yirmiya. That's, Rav is going to learn that the case there is not a case of Tav Sofer, but a case of Chatimata Sofer, which is that when it says in that Mishnah further on, Tav Sofer Be'eid Kasher, over there, Tav doesn't mean the handwriting of the Sofer, but rather the signature of the Sofer. So that's another way to deal with this problem. I explained it till now, that the difference is that over here you have his handwriting, there you have the handwriting of the sofer, that people are more likely to assume that the handwriting of the sofer can function like edut, which is a view brought by the Balei Tosafot on the Amud Aleph in the main of the Rabbeinu Chananel, which Tosafot says we don't find in any of the Girsot, but he also brings an alternative that would also be able to explain it without having to say that Rav holds like Rabbi Yirmiya about Chatam Sofer, but rather it could be Ketav Sofer in both of those instances. And Rav also subscribes to that distinction that Shmuel makes. But the way that Rashi distinguishes is that he learns like Rabbi Yirmi over there, that the case of Tav Sofer is not equivalent to our case over here, where it's the handwriting of the Sofer versus the handwriting of the Baal, but rather, Tav Sofer there means Chatimata Sofer, that the Sofer actually signed on the get. Sofer signed on it, and an Eid Echad signed on it, and that's why it's Kosher L'Chatchila over there. Over here, it's not Kosher L'Chatchila because there is no signature on here. It's simply the Ktav Yado of the Baal. That's the way Rashi learns it, and then Shmuel will not subscribe to Rabbi Yirmiya. And Shmuel will say that when it says Ktav Sofer over there, it literally means Ktav Sofer. Again, you don't have to learn like Rashi, as I explained now, that you could just say that it also was the Ktav Sofer over there according to Rav, but Ktav Sofer people view differently than Ktav of the Baal. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made a similar statement to Rav, which is that we're talking about Ktav Yado of the Baal. Again, Amalei Rabbi Elazar, Harayesh Alav Eidim. So wait a minute, isn't that case in our Mishnah, the middle case, where you would have assumed that Rabbi Yochanan was qualifying and saying it says Ktav Yado, it says there that we have full-fledged Eidim over there. What does it matter if you have the Baal's handwriting? Amalei Aseifa must be on the latter case in the Braita, similar to what we did with Rav, that his qualification goes on that last case. So too, by Rabbi Yochanan, we say the same thing. And now you have a Mesora Bavlait, which is Rav saying that that's the case, and a Mesora Eretz Israelit saying that Rabbi Yochanan says that the latter case in the Mishnah is a case of Ketav Yado. Now we have, Umar says, independent of this. Zimnan Amarav Teitze, Zimnan Amarav Lo Teitze. Sometimes Rav would say they have to dissolve the marriage. Sometimes he would not say that they have to dissolve the marriage. Ha Keitzad. How do we resolve this seeming stira contradiction within Rav's position? Yesh la banim lo teitze. If children are already born out of this marriage, we will not dissolve the marriage and have them get a new get, because by dissolving the marriage, you're going to cast aspersions on the children born of that marriage, and people will consider them mamzerim. So we will not dissolve the marriage. Ein la banim, if they have yet to have children, teitze, we force the dissolution of the marriage. Because there's no problem with children or the causing of mamzerut in that case. Right now, the Gemara says, "Meitiv marzutra bartuvia v'chulan shayu ben safek kiddushin o safek gerushin reilu chotzot velo mityabmot." goes way, way back to Yevamot. And Yevamot, when it says, V'kulan, Kulan references the first Mishnah in the Masechta that says, there are 15 women who are arayot and who are puter, their co-wife, from having to do Yibum. So now, in that case, V'kulan, in all those instances where one of those 15 women was only either married b'safek or divorced b'safek. In that instance, we're not certain as to whether this woman is the wife of this individual. Since we're not certain if they're the wife, the co-wife may not be exempt from Yibum. If they are really married, meaning that the case where the marriage is good, or in the case where the get is no good, then in that case, the erva remains married to the individual, and the co-wife is exempt. On the other hand, if the kiddushin are no good, or the get is a good get, then that erva is no longer married to this individual. She's not married to this individual, then the co-wife is not exempted from Yibum, and she should have to form Yibum. So what we recommend in that case is chotzot v'lo mityamot. They do chalitza in case she needed to do Yibum, meaning that the erva is not married to him. And or lo mityabemet, we don't allow her to do Yibum because maybe the erva is still married to him. Ketzad safek kiddushin. What is a case of safek kiddushin? Zarek la kiddushin. He throws her kiddushin. Safek karov la, safek karov lo. The safek is whether the kiddushin lands closer to him or closer to her. Again, we dealt with this earlier in the Masechta. That's the question of exactly what the setup is, if it's exactly 8 amot between them, and therefore each of them has 4 amot, which is their personal space. So if it lands within his, her personal space, of course it's not kiddushin. If it lands in her personal space, then it is kiddushin. Zehu safek kiddushin. That's the instance of safek kiddushin. Safek kirushin. What's the case of safek gerushin? Kata biktav yado vein alav edim. The case where he writes it in his handwriting and there are no edim. Yeshav alav edim vein bozman. It has edim, but there is no date in the shtar. Yesh bozman vein bo'el achad. Or if it's dated, but there's only one aid. Harizeh safek gerushin. That is a questionable divorce. Yamart lo teitzei. So now, if you tell me they don't dissolve the marriage, if you say, lo teitzei, that in the new marriage, we do not force a dissolution of the new marriage, that means you're basically upholding the get and saying the get is a kosher get. So since it is a kosher get, the co-wife is going to think that the erva is no longer a wife here, and she is chayevet in Yibum. So the Gemara says, okay, tityabeim, let her perform Yibum. Why do we not want her to perform Yibum? Because the get here might be a puzzle get. If it's a puzzle get, then the erva is still married to the original individual. If that's the case, the co-wife is exempted from Yibum, or actually asurah b'Yibum. That's an esherach, b'el shalom b'makom mitzvah. So that's what the Gemara is questioning here. If you say that these cases are problematic, and then you're going to allow her to stay in the second marriage, allowing her to stay in the second marriage is going to make it look like it's going to give an impression of the fact that the get was a good get. That means that the co-wife will think that she's the only wife to this individual and she can perform Yibum, when in reality, the wife that was an erva was never really divorced. And if she wasn't really divorced, she's still really married to the first guy, or b'safig married to the first guy, and the co-wife should not be able to perform Yibum. Where it says, titiabeim vein b'kachlum. Let her perform Yibum. That's the worst that happens. She performs Yibum, it's not an issue. Chashashu d'rabbonon hi. Remember that our Mishnah, and that's the problem with that Mishnah in Yevamot, is that the Mishnah over there is giving you instances of a safek get. The get's not really a safek get. The get is a kosher get midoraita. It's pasul midorabanan. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. In the end, the get is only pasul midorabanan. Midoraita, she is divorced. Midoraita, the co-wife, is chayevet in Yibum. So what's the worst outcome over here? That she stays in the second marriage. The co-wife performs Yibum. That's all what's supposed to happen, midoraita. That's all good. The only thing is that midrabanan, we say it's a puzzle get. So if we can rectify that situation without causing too much undue burden, we'll rectify it. But if not, then we're not going to dissolve that second marriage. And if she goes and performs Yibum, that's not the end of the world. Levi Amar, lo'olam do teitze. So this is what we were saying before. Remember, the Gemara opened up with Laman damar teitze, Laman damar lo teitze. There's one who says that you dissolve the marriage in the cases of our Mishnah, and one who says that you do not dissolve the marriages. So Rav was the one who says, Teitzei, that there are cases where we force a dissolution of the marriage. Levi Amar Lo'olam Lo Teitze. You never dissolve the marriage. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lo'olam Lo Teitze. Rabbi Yochanan also agrees that we never dissolve the marriage. V'chein Amar Lo Rabbi Yochanan B'nei the Rabbi Chalafta de Min Huna, or over here it's the Min Chaifa, that the same is true. Rabbi Yochanan conveyed this to the children of Rabbi Chalafta from Chaifa. Hachi Amar Avuchon, he says, this is what your father said. Lo'olam Lo Teitze. We do not force a dissolution of the marriage. Vikaratzit sheba amir ena puselet. This type of either bird or insect ena puselet b'mei chatat does not cause problems for the waters of Parah Aduma. My karatzit. What is this karatzit? Amar Abaya didvita. So you can see in Rashi, didvita is a zvuf. It's a type of fly or some sort of insect. The Bene Kipe that lives, that is found amongst the piles of the grain. So this is a type of, whether it's a pest or some sort of fly that is normally found in that location. If it drinks from the Mechatat, is not Poselet. Meitiv Rav Daniel by Rav Katina. Kolo Fot Poslim be Mechatat. All birds ruin the Mechatat. The problem is that if the bird drinks from the Mechatat, it's going to ruin the Mechatat. Not because melacha has been done with the mechatat, which is also a reason to be posel the mechatat. If you do work with it, that we saw earlier in the mesechta, then the mechatat is problematic. The mechatat here is the waters that are in the kli that you're going to mix the ashes into. So over there, if it drinks from it, it's problematic because when the bird drinks or any animal drinks from it, it ends up drinking some of the water and then spitting out a portion of it. Tosafot says over here, that is time of mishum, that it has to be a Maim Chayim El Keli. So it has to be Maim Chayim that goes into the Kli. This is a failure in that. Once you're ready to Mekadesh the Mayim in the Kli and you put the ashes into it, that's not going to be Pasul in terms of Melacha. The only problem here is that it's not Maim Chayim El Keli. That you're lacking that aspect of it because they drank the water and spit it back out. And therefore, it's not Maim Chaim El Keli because it's recycled water. And recycled water doesn't count as Maim Chaim El Keli. Even after Kiddush, even if it's not Pasul Mishum Lacha, it can be Pasul Mishum Hesachadat. It doesn't have to be the problem over here. Although Tosafot in other places suggests that that might be the reason that there's a problem here. It's because of an issue of Hesachadat when the animals drink from the Mechatat. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot says that the psul here is a psul because the moisture in the mouth of the bird then mixes with the water that's there, and now you don't have exclusively mechatat, you have mechatat plus the moisture from the bird's mouth, and then it's no longer only mechatat. Any bird would ruin the mechatat, chutz min hayonah, the exception of the dove, b'neishim motzetz it, because it drinks in a much more gentle manner, which is that it sucks the water in rather than dipping its beak into the water and thereby causing some of the water to be recycled. Vimita, if you're correct that this fly also is not subject to that problem, nitne chutz mi yonah v'karatzit. It should be to the exclusion of a yonah and a karatzit who's also exempted from this. Lo psikale. That's not clear to him because it's not a definitive halacha. Tigdola lo pasla. When the karatzit is bigger, it's not posel the mechatat. Viktana pasla. But on the end, when it's a younger or smaller karatzit, it is posel the mechatat. Vad kama. What is that threshold that makes it into a gdola or a ktana? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Yivitei Rabbi Yirmiyah, and kezayit. When it reaches the size of an olive. So once it reaches the size of an olive, it's considered to be gdola, and then it has the same din as a yonah. But when it's a smaller than that size, it's not have the din of a yonah, it has the din of other ofot, and that's why it's not included here, because of that distinction, which is that it's not a definitive halacha, that it's always not problematic. It's only not problematic in certain instances when it's a large enough size. Rabbi Elazar omer af al pi kein. Rabbi Elazar says, even if you do not have edei chatima, it's still a good get, because we have edei misira. In other words, Rabbi Elazar is l'shitato, that Edei Mesira Karte. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Alocha K'Rabbi Elazar B'Gitin. The Alocha is like Rabbi Elazar and Gitin. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when they said it in front of Shmuel, amar, af bishtarot. Even by shtarot, the din is like Rabbi Elazar. That's ede misira karte. We'll remember that. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Rav savar bishtarot, lo? Rav believes by shtarot that it is not ede misira karte. Haktani. Doesn't our Mishnah say, gova minichasim mishubadim? That our Mishnah says that you can, with Ede Mesira, go after encumbered property. Going after encumbered property seems to be that you're using it as a shtar. And a shtar, Ede Mesira, karte, to the point where you can collect from encumbered property. It's a full-fledged shtar. Rabbi Lazar tarte amar. Rabbi Lazar makes two statements in our Mishnah. One is that gitin ar ksherim be Ede Mesira. And number two is that shtarot ar ksherot with Ede Mesira. Rav Savar Kadei Bechado. Rav Paskins like him in one case, the case of Gitin. Upoligalei Bechado, and argues on him in the other instance by the case of Shtarot. And he only thinks Halacha is like Rav Elazar, be Gitin. Pchena Amar Yaakov Baridi, Amar Rabbi Yishu Ben Levi, Halacha ke Rav Elazar, be Gitin. Okay, and we have Rav Yaakov Baridi in the name of Rabbi Yishu Ben Levi saying the same thing, that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar, be Gitin. Rabbi Yanai Amar Afilu Reacha Get Ein Bo, that when you use Edei Mesira, it's not even a good get. Mar says, Rabbi Yanai lately to Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Yanai doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Elazar that Edei Mesira Karate? Hachi Gamar, Le Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Meir, who we know argues on Rabbi Elazar, Afilu Reyach Get Ein Bo. When you have no Edim in the get, and only Edei Mesira, according to Rabbi Elazar, that's a full-fledged get, kosher get, according to the Chachamim, or probably according to Rabbi Meir, that is a get pasul. Get pasul, so pasul that it doesn't even count as a reyach get. If she got such a get, then it won't be considered that she was ever divorced and she can marry a kohen. Chena mer Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, mer Shlakish, halacha k'Rabbi Elazar b'gitin. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar b'gitin. Rabbi Yochanan amar, afilu reyach get ein bo. Rabbi Yochanan says there's not even a aspect of a get associated with this. Leimer Rabbi Yochanan lately to Rabbi Elazar. Let's say that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Elazar. Halachin kamar. Well, again, this is what he meant to say, the Rabbanan, afilu reyach get ein bo. According to those that disagree with Rabbi Elazar, there's not even a reyach get here. Shalach le Rabbi Ava bar Zavdo, the Mari bar Mar, boy mi nei mi Ravuna. Please query, ask Ravuna, halacha ke Rabbi Elazar be gitin, or in halacha? Is halacha like Rabbi Elazar by gitin or not? Adohachi nach nafshe de Ravuna. By the time he got to Ravuna to ask him that halacha question, he passed away. Amale Rabba Bray, Rabba his son said, Hachi Amar Abba Mishmei. So over here it's a question about whether it should be Rava or it should be Mishmei Derav. Rav Huna was a Talmid of Rav, and therefore it would make sense that he said it in the name of Rav, that his father said it in the name of Rav. The difficulty with Rava might be, or might people think is that it, because it's Rabba, and Rabba is Rava's Rebbe, so he wouldn't be quoting Rava, but that's not the case over here, because over here it's Rabba Breid Rav Huna. Whereas Rabba Stam and Shas is Rabba Rabba Nachmani. So therefore it doesn't necessarily mean that it couldn't be Rava over here, but you'd have to then subscribe to the position of Tosafot that there were two Rav Hunas. Not here, but Tosafot in other places in Shas says there were two Rav Hunas, one who was the Talmud of Rav, and one who was maybe a later Rav Huna, and that may be the later Rav Huna that we're speaking about if we're quoting Rava instead of Rav. So the more likely gears over here is that it's Mishmei de Rav, because we already saw that Rav says this opinion. Halacha ki Rav Elazar b'gitin. Halacha is like Rav Elazar b'gitin. Rabbeinu Abakim b'dvar halacha, who are experts in issues of psak halacha. Mishum Rabbeinu, in the name of Rabbeinu here would be Rav. Amru halacha ki Rav Elazar b'gitin. Halacha is like Rav Elazar b'gitin. De Amar Rav Chama bar Guri Amar Rav. Halacha ki Rav Elazar b'gitin. Because Rav Chama bar Guri says the name of Rav, that the halacha is like Rav Elazar b'gitin. Again, most of the positions here are being said in the name of Rav, who we know says that the halacha is Rav Elazar b'gitin. Our counterparts, who are experts in halacha, v'tamidei Rabbeinu, and the students of our great rabbi, meaning of Rav, mishum Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav, say, halacha amru, halacha ki Rav Elazar b'gitin. They say the halacha is Rav Elazar b'gitin. Tam Rav Chista, Amar Rav Chamar bar Guria, Amar Rav, Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar b'gitin. Again, the same quote. Chen kiata Ravin. So too, when Ravin came to Bavel, Amar Rav Elazar, he brought a memra in the name of Rav Elazar, Amar Rav, Halacha ki Rav Elazar b'gitin. Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar b'gitin. That memra is a little strange because you have Rabin, who's usually traveling between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, bringing information. And here he's quoting Rabbi Elazar, who is an Amora in Eretz Yisrael, is a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, he's having Rabbi Elazar, who's quoting Rav, which seems strange because he's bringing a Mesorah from Eretz Yisrael, and the Mesorah in Eretz Yisrael is quoting Rav, who is in Bavel. So how did Rabbi Elazar get a Mesorah from Rav in Eretz Yisrael unless it came from Bavel? So then why is Rabin transporting that Mesorah from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel when its origins are in Bavel and most likely are quoted by the Amoraim of Bavel, which we've seen above? That was the Gemara here. We have a plethora of Amoraim that say the Aloha is like Rabbi Elazar b'Gitin, with the exception of one individual, and that's Shmuel. Says that the Aloha is not only like him by Gitin, but also by Shtarot. So if you go back to Daf Dalid Amud Aleph, and you look at the Tosfot, the Kaima over there, the Tosfot Dira Matkil Kaima over there, Tosfot says, the Loch is like Rabbi Yirmiya, Afilu Bishtarot, even by Shtarot. Ah, you have all these Amoraim saying otherwise. Halacha Kishmuel Bidine. The Loch is like Shmuel when it comes to monetary matters. And therefore by Shtar, the Loch is going to be like Shmuel. And the Loch therefore is like Rabbi Lazar, that Edi Mesira Karte, even by Shtarot. That is the conclusion of the Baalei HaTosafot back on Dalet Amud Aleph. If you remember when we did that back in Dalet Amud Aleph, we noted that the Rif comes to a different conclusion than the Baalei HaTosafot. And the Rif on Daf and Zayin Amud Aleph says, the Hilchata Rabbi Elazar Begitin. The Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar Begitin, implying that Eid Mesira Karte is only true by Gitin, not by Shtarot. And as Rashi notes over here, the difference being that a get does not have a requirement of chatima min haTorah. Because Mikata of law, Rabbi Elazar interprets to mean the get must be written lishma, but not that there has to be a chatima lishma. On the other hand, the other shtarot, we learn that from the pasukim near Miyahu, and the pasukim near Miyahu says, v'katov b'sefer v'chatom, that it requires a chatima, that it requires a signature. And therefore we would differentiate between gitin and shtarot. Or another way to differentiate is that by Gitin, we do not require publicity, whereas by Shtarot, we require the publicity in order to make it a vehicle by which you can collect from Nechasim Mishubadim, as we said many times in the Masechet, that the Edim that sign on it bring it a certain amount of publicity, which becomes the equivalent of the title search, because it gives other people notice that this property is encumbered or there is some lien on this property. Whereas Shmuel over here, who says that it even applies by Shtarot, will say that that Pasuk near Miyahu is not a definitive halacha, but rather, as Rashi says over here, Eitz Tova Kamashvalan, it's telling us good advice. It's telling you is a good idea to sign on it, because again, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, but it's not telling you that you must sign on it to be a kosher shtar. And again, the difference between whether publicity is only what grants you the right through the shtar to collect from the Nechasim Mishubadim. Doesn't mean the shtar is not valid without that. It just means that we want the Edim to sign for publicity reasons, but Edim Esira could be fine in terms of making the shtar into a valid shtar. That's one machloka between the Rif and the Baalei HaTosafot. The other machloka that we saw between them is whether Edim Ktiva, according to Rabbi Elazar, can work just like Edim Esira. According to the Baalei HaTosafot, Rabbi Elazar says, Edim Esira Karte exclusively. Edim Chatima don't help you at all. On the other hand, the Rif over here says, on Mem Zayin Amud Bet, Omaha, Nami Shmeinen, Delo Binen, Edim Esira, Echad Ike Edim Chatima. Even Rabbi Elazar agrees that when there are Edim Chatima, that is sufficient. And what it means that Rabbi Elazar is Halacha Begitin is Af Edim Mesira Ksherim Begitin. That also Edim Mesira are good by Gitin, also being that Edim Chatima for sure are good, but also Edim Mesira are good. That's the way the Rif reads the position of Rabbi Elazar. On the other hand, the Tosafot reads it as being that Rabbi Elazar is making a definitive statement that Edim Mesira work, Edim Chatima do not work. So if you remember back on Daf Dalet, we spoke about this much more extensively, the machlok between the Tosafot and the Rif and the reasoning behind their relative positions. Now the next Mishnah says, Shnayim Sheshalchu Shnei Gitin Shavin. Two individuals who sent identical gitin, v'nitarvu, and then they got mixed up. So then the shliach notein shnehem lazo, v'shnehem lazo. He hands both gitin to each woman because then by definition they'll get the right get. They at least got the right get. Lefikach, avad echad mehem. Problem is if one of those gitin gets lot, hari asheni batel. The second one is automatically problematic because in that case we have no idea which the second one belongs to and we'll never know which woman was divorced. Chamisha shekatvo klal betoch get. If five individuals wrote generally in a get, ish ploni megeresh plonit. So-and-so is divorcing so-and-so. Uploni plonit. And so-and-so, so-and-so. Maybe they made it into one big get that would handle multiple parties that were trying to divorce. And they wrote in the general section, that so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so are all divorcing their wives. Vayedim ilamata. And you have signatories below. Kulan kishirin. All of them are kshirim. It's a get for all of them. Inatein the kol achad v'achad. And a get has to be given to each one of the women in order that there be even atan biyada. Hayak kutev tofes the kol achad v'achad. If there was a separate boilerplate language for each of the individuals that is mentioned in the get, meaning these multiple parties that are divorcing, v'idim ilamata, and then his signatories are down below, etched idim nikraim imo kasher. That section that it looks like they didn't belong to or a continuation of that section is kasher, whereas the remainder are psulim because they don't have edim. The edim will therefore be pigeonholed into where they're signed relative to the five different boilerplate languages that we have here. And wherever they are parallel with, that will be kasher. The remaining boilerplates will be not kasherim because they lack edim. Again, the Mishnah Gemara will discuss in more detail, tomorrow's daf, what exactly that is. Mantano. Who's the author of this Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Irmiya, Deloki Rabbi Elazar. Stephanie is not Rabbi Elazar. Di Rabbi Elazar, Kevin Damar, Ede Misira Karte, Halo Yadi Behei Minayu Kamigarsho. Then if Ede Misira Karte over here, we don't have a solution to the problem of when the Gitin get mixed up. How do we hand both Gitin to the woman? We have no idea which get is generating the Gerushin. And that is because we assume that Rabbi Elazar argues on Rabbi Meir when it says v'katavla in the pasuk by Gerushin. Katavla means lishma. So Rabbi Meir reads that v'katavla lishma is that they have to have edi chatima. The chatimot have to be lishma, or in essence, that's what makes the get into a get. According to Rabbi Elazar, katavla is literally the ktav. The get itself must be written lishma. And as Rashi knows over there, it says v'katavla v'natan biyada, that he writes the get for her and gives it into her hand. And therefore, the la means lishma is modifying not just the katav, the writing of it, but also benatan, the giving of it. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar requires lishma for the ktiva. He also requires lishma for the nitina. And that is lacking over here because we don't know which get is being given to the woman to be the real get because he has two gitin here and he's not sure which one is which. And because of that, it is not considered to be a get lishma, as Rashi notes later on at the bottom line in Rashi, because that is not an itina mivureret. It's not an itina lishma mivureret. It's not a giving that is clear and defined lishma. That would be the psul according to Rabbi Elazar, and that's why he can't be the author of the Mishnah. Abai Amar, afilu teimei Rabbi Elazar. Even Rabbi Elazar can be the author of our Mishnah. Ema debai Rabbi Elazar ktiva lishma. The cut of law, the law modifies the ktiva. So he requires that the get be written lishma. Netina lishma mibayi. Who says that it also modifies v'natan biyada? Who says that it also has to be lishma? Our assumption was that v'katav v'natan, since they are adjacent, juxtaposed in the psukim, and they are the requirement of giving the get, we would think that the rule of lishma that applies to ktiva also applies to netina. So that's why we thought originally that Rabbi Elazar could not be the author of the Mishnah. And that is because, as Rashi explains over here, if Rabbi Elazar requires lishma, lishma means that it is a netina lishma mivureret. It has to be a clear and defined giving, lishma, and that means you need to know which get you're giving to the woman or what is the proper get that has been given to the woman. Abai dispels that notion and says that we will separate between tiva and netina. Tiva has to be lishma, netina does not have to be lishma. Netina doesn't have to be shma. Even Rabbi Elazar can agree, you give the gitin, both gitin to the woman, you have edim misira there, and it works. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Meir, who only requires edei chatima, then the get is a kosher get once the edim signed on the get. As long as it reaches the hand of the woman, then the get is a good get. That can function in one of two ways. It can become a get, meaning the mafreya. The edim signed the get is a kosher get. It's just Functionally, you have to give it to the woman in order for it to become a good get or divorce her. But the get became a get the moment the Edim signed on it. And therefore, as long as you give the get to the woman, it is a good get. Or you could argue that, even according to Rabbi Meir, where it says that Eidei Chatima Karte doesn't work the Mafreya, it's not just held in abeyance until it's given to the woman. But literally, the get only becomes a good get when it's given to the woman. But that, together with the signatories on the get, make it into a kosher get. And therefore, you don't need this Nitina Mivureret that Rabbi Elazar requires. And that's why it's kosher according to Rabbi Meir. As Rashi says of here, Rabbi Meir came into Lo Baye Eidei Mesira, Shapi Adami. Since Rabbi Meir does not require Eidei Mesira at all, just Eidei Chatima, then there's no lacking in this giving unto the woman. That is not necessarily the case according to all Rishonim. But Rashi says over here that Rabbi Meir does not require Eidei Mesira. Rabbeinu Tam, back on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, in the same Tosafot, Divrei Matzkil Dekaima, says that even according to Rabbi Meir, you require Eidei Mesira because it's a Davar Shebe'erva. Now, Davar Shebe'erva ain't pochot mishnayim. You can't have less than two Eidim. So again, for the get to be kasher, you don't necessarily need the Eidei Mesira because you already have the Eidei Chatima. But because it's a Davar Shebe'erva, a davar shebe'erva requires two edim. Rabbeinu Tam lomar that filu Rabbi Meir by edim b'shat netinat aget dein davar shebe'erva pachot mishnayim. There's no davar shebe'erva pachot mishnayim, and therefore you need edim mesira there in order to be the edim for davar shebe'erva. And therefore, according to Rabbi Tam, you'd have to explain the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar differently over here, because even Rabbi Meir requires edim mesira. What you have to say is that the edim mesira of Rabbi Meir are different than the edim mesira of Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, the Eidei Mesira are there because they're making the get lishma. There has to be a netina lishma. And netina lishma has to be mivureret. It has to be defined and clear what they're witnessing. On the other hand, for Rabbi Meir, the requirement of Eidei Mesira is only for the fact that it is ein erva, and ein davar b'erva pachot mishnayim. And therefore, maybe you don't need this lishma mivureret. You simply need them to witness the giving of the get, because then it covers this issue of ein davar b'erva pachot mishnayim. And therefore, it's being dealt with by having two edim there. They don't need to know which get is the get that goes to the woman. And therefore, even though Rabbi Meir requires edim mesira, they're functionally different, or they're there for a different reason than the edim mesira of Rabbi Elazar. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Pei Vav Amud Bet.